fasting, something that we would like to do as a church. And the words that I got for when we do it as a congregation this week is resetting, reset, huh? Renewal, and revival. I hope that motivates you. That's the three words I got for fasting. But it's just between you and the Lord what you're going to fast. It's something that I've been incorporating into my spiritual life regularly for the last couple years. And now, you know, I regularly fast every week. And then I also do an extended few times a year. And the New Year is one of the week that I do an extended fast. And for that extended fast, the word that I got for the church and for myself, it's reset, right? Renewal, and revival. Right? Amen? So let's do this as a congregation. The title for this new year, not 2022, okay, 2023, is God is Good. Okay? Oh, that's last week. Yeah, God is good. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe I sent out the wrong one, but is God is good? Say, God is good. Okay, and the passage, it might not be up there. I want you to turn to Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. And this is the NASB version, okay? Psalm 27, verse 13, the psalmist says, I certainly believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, okay? That I will see the goodness of the Lord. Not when he gets to heaven, he says, I certainly believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, okay? Right now, where we are on earth, we will see, certainly believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. And God's people said. Now, how do we hope in 2023? How do we hope in 2023? To have hope for the new year, right? You know, many make a new year resolution, like, you know, our brother Tay, losing weight for 2023 or exercise more. You know, some are maybe to have hope for 2023. Some are determined to try something new, okay? A new hobby, a new activity. To have hope for the new year, maybe some here, maybe you're going to clean and organize your home, you know. Throw out the old things, clean out the closet, redecorate, and remodel. But as a Christian, right, to have hope for 2023, I want you to focus on the goodness of God. Okay? I want you to focus on the goodness of God. Say to your neighbor, God is good. See, the more you understand God's goodness, more hopeful you'll be. Right? Rick Warren says, hope is anticipating God's goodness. Hope is related with God's goodness. The reason you have real hope is because God is good. Without God's goodness, if God's not good, there's no rational reason for hope. If God's not good, the future is very, very bleak. What? Because God is good, we hope for 2023. And the first point, the goodness of God gives hope for what God does for you. Okay? For you. And the passage is Ezekiel 36, verse 26. God says to us, I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. You know, it says, for you, God gives you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. The hope for you, you can have, you know, and this is a tremendous hope. You know, you could have a hard heart. Right now you could be sitting there, why do I have such a hard heart? But because of God's goodness, not because you're good, but because of God's goodness, God will give you a soft heart, a new heart. In the Bible, in Ezekiel 37, God showed Ezekiel a valley filled with dry bones. And if you saw a valley of dry bones, you know, I would be just overwhelmed. I would be depressed. I would think, you know, there's no hope. This is so hopeless. And God shows what God wants to do for his people, because the Bible says the valley of dry bones are his people. And what God wants to do for you, what happens? The dry bones starts to rattle. Right? And the dry bones come to life. Now, the question that I have for you, what is your valley of dry bones? What is an area of your life that hardens your heart? It can be a sin. It can be a failure. It could be a weakness. Maybe it's an addiction, a past brokenness. It could be a sickness. It could be a broken relationship, a marriage issue, a family issue. It might even be a generational issue, a generational stronghold. It could be an intense spiritual battle. A valley of dry bone. What is the most hopeless issue in your life? And I want you to prophesy over the dry bones. And what should we prophesy? Proclaim God is good over the dry bones. To what seems hopeless, proclaim God is good. And because God is good, what does God do for us? See, Ezekiel, it's God who showed Ezekiel the dry bones. And it's God who did a miracle, because Ezekiel prophesied over the dry bones. God gives a new heart, a new spirit within you. Okay? And this is what we're going to proclaim for 2023. Identify the dry bone, the valley of dry bones in your life. This year, the dry bones are going to come to life. Not because I am good. Not because I feel good. Because God is good. The valley of dry bones will come to life. Second point, the goodness of God gives you hope for what God does in you. Okay? In you. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is the NLT version. Maybe just look up because, you know, it's the NLT version up there. It says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returned. And God's people said? Now, God puts an importance on what is happening inside of you. Okay, the world is different. The world puts an importance on what's going on outside of you. Like your image, how you look, what you wear, how tall you are, how short you are, how much you weigh, the color of your skin. The world puts an importance on the outside. God cares about what's going on inside of you. Okay, what's going on inside of your heart. And when you care about more the image on the outside, then Christian life is not, it's about trying to be everything to everyone. Meeting everyone's need. Taking care of every problem. Trying to have all, thinking that we have all the answer. It is not about, then Christian life, if you're just about outside, you have to show that you never struggle. But it's because, you see, on the outside, you could show that you don't struggle. Go on social media, you look at the pictures, you're only seeing the outside, and you think they have a perfect life. They have fun all the time. They eat the best meal every night. What's on the outside? They never struggle. That everything in your life has to be, is perfect. Right? Pleasing everyone around you. But if you believe, okay, the reason we perform so much outside is because you think somebody don't approve of you, is mad at you. But if you believe God is good, right? Philippians 1 says, because he is good, he is working in you. And he who began the good work within you, because he is so good, will continue his work, will complete his work in you, because he is good. If you believe God is good, you might not feel it. You cannot, might not even see it. You know that God is working in you. You might be going up and down. Again, you might not feel it. But because God is good, okay? And you really believe that, and this helps me tremendously, because I know God is good. Okay? He is good. I can be myself. Okay? Because God is good, he's working in me. So I don't have to put pressure on myself. I don't have to compare myself to others. I don't have to be impatient. If you don't believe God is good, you don't believe God is working in you. So you have to perform. You fake it. You strive. You compare. You compete. You feel inadequate. You feel hopeless about yourself. If you believe God is good, when you look at yourself, okay, if you truly believe God is good, you look at yourself, there is peace. Right? There is peace. If you don't believe God is good, you look at yourself, and there's no peace. Why? If you believe God is good, he is working in me right now. And you know what? He is so good. He will complete the work that he is doing in me. So look at yourself through God's goodness. You can look at yourself through human eyes. That's temporal. That depends on the circumstances. Depend on what you feel. Then you see yourself through brokenness, through fear, through shame, through weakness, through weariness, through what you do not have now. So for this new year, my challenge, look at yourself through the lens of God's goodness. And let's look at each other through the lens of God's goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, the new creation has already come. Okay? The old has gone. The new is here. In Christ, there is a new creation. You know, maybe in your family, it was never enough. You know, you never did enough. But no, no. Because God is good, He has been working in you. He is working in you. And He will complete the work that He is doing in you. Okay? God is going to do, and it talks about a new creation, new things that God is doing. And I want us to think about this new year and really believe. I want to make a mistake of really believing than not believing. Right? Really believing in something great than just believing in something small. I want to make a mistake in believing big because we believe in a great God. So, for this year, God's going to do something that was never done before in your life. Can we believe that together? Okay. God's going to use me like He never did before. Can we believe that together? I'm going to experience freedom like I never did before. Something new. There's going to be a transformation like never before. For this new year, let's believe a God who we personally worship and love and follow, a God who has no limit. There's no limit to God, no limit to His love, no limit to eternity. Can you figure out when it ends, eternity? Huh? There's no limit to eternity and how much God could heal us, how much God could deliver us, how much God could transform us. You know, but let's go away from the old. The old is, you know, we put our assurance in, oh, we're so stuck. How we will never change. How our brokenness will never be healed. How our addiction and bondage will always have power over us. There's two people in the Bible. Moses, he failed in life. Lost everything. There was insecurity in his heart. There was depression in him. God comes to him in a burning bush and tells him, I want to use you as a deliverer. I want to do something great in you. I want to do something new in you. And Moses couldn't believe. He tells God, send someone else. But there was another person, Isaiah. God shows himself. God shows his holiness. Right? And Isaiah, too, sees his weakness. And he cries out, woe is me, I am ruined. All my sins are exposed. And God comes to him and says, who should I send? Right? Moses, in his weakness, looked at himself and not the goodness of God and said, send somebody else. Isaiah saw his sin and it hurt him. Woe is me, I am ruined. It was hard. And God says, whom should I send? And in his weakness, because he saw the goodness of God, he said to God, here am I. Send me. Send me. So in your brokenness, in your weakness, in your bitterness, in your anger, see the goodness of God. And I challenge you for this year, speak out. Speak out, prophesy over the dry bones, the valley of dry bones. Come to life. And in you, here am I. Send me. Amen? Third point, the goodness of God gives you hope for what God does through you. The goodness of God, you know, God does wonderful things for you, in you, and through you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. This is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciple. And one of the parts of that prayer, it says, your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And I was thinking about this. If it cannot be done, that through us, there will be heaven on earth. Right? If it cannot be done, I was thinking, why would Jesus ask his disciple to pray this prayer? If it's not possible, if it's not true, and he didn't think his disciples could do this, Jesus is very cruel and deceptive. Right? But Jesus never lies. He always speaks truth. Jesus taught his disciple to pray this prayer because this is what God wants to do through you. It is ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. We're not called to just wait till we die and go to heaven. The kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is in us, through us, in our home, in our church, and in the world we live. In the time of Elijah, there was Baal worship on every hilltop. People turned away from God. There was a severe famine. Right? There was poverty and death all around him. Elijah was not called to be destroyed by the famine. That was not God's calling for Elijah. For Elijah, it wasn't God's calling for Elijah to be overwhelmed by Baal worship. Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah was called to overcome Baal worship, was called to pray, and God's rain would fall on dry and parched land. God used Elijah to bring heaven on earth. When it comes to spiritual battle, right, and personal battle with the flesh that you're going through, it's not the enemy to come to your territory, into your heart and home, and into your church to tempt us and to lie to us, to confuse us, to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want us to change our mindset about spiritual battle for this new year. Because some Christians, the spiritual battle is because the enemy has taken the offensive. We play the defense so that, you know, the enemy has come into our territory. Oh, what do we do? And we got to do something about it because the enemy is in our territory. And the spiritual battle is so that the enemy don't steal from us. Don't steal from my family. Don't steal our relationship, our calling, and our destiny. But for this new year, I'm challenging Catalyst, have a more of a biblical mindset when we are concerning spiritual battle. It is not to continuously be harassed by the demonic spirit. Through you, God's going to bring heaven on earth, because in heaven there is no demons. In heaven, demons have no power. In heaven, demons are already defeated. There's already victory in heaven. To bring heaven on earth, Jesus commands us to win the prize for which Christ has called us heavenward. As a Christian, we're called to go heavenward, to move heavenward. So when it comes to spiritual battle, we take the offensive. Instead of the enemy coming into our territory, we go into the enemy's territory. It is not the demon that should harass us. We as Christians should harass the demons. We are called to open the prison door. We're called to liberate those who have been taken captive and set them free. It is to win the spiritual battle through you. God's gonna bring heaven on earth. When the nation of Israel was facing Goliath, King Saul and the army went backward. Not heavenward, but backward. They were afraid and they ran away and they hid in caves. Little boy, if a little boy could do this, you could do this. Named David. He went heavenward. He brought heaven on earth. David, when he approached Goliath, and this is what he says, little boy, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. He did not allow Goliath to come in to his territory. He did not allow Goliath to come into his nation to kill, to destroy, to steal, to lie. David, see, Goliath represents the demonic in the Bible. David faced Goliath. David defeated Goliath. God is good. Right? And because he is good, this is how I see you. You're going to bring heaven on earth. Through David, God brought heaven on earth. So, this year, let's go heavenward. Let's bring heaven on earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Say that to your neighbor. You are the light of the world. Okay. You know what I realize about light? No matter how dark it is, darkness always lose when there's light. Did you know that? If it's really pitch dark, you know, you just need a match and you could see it for miles. Darker it is, a match is brighter. Darkness always lose when there's light. And God says, you are the light of the world. You are a light upon a hill so that the whole city could see it. If you believe God is good, there's much hope for this year. Right? If you don't have hope for this year, that means, okay, you need to work on your faith and believing that God is good. If you believe God is good, there's much hope for this year through you. Right? God's going to bring heaven on earth. Through you, you will be a light for the world. And God's light in you, right, it shines in the darkness. Right? It shines You know, I think that's more important for the function of light, that it shines in the darkness. Can you imagine? There's thousands of candles, you know, so bright, and you have one more candle. You know, that's nice. You know, it's like a conference, like a revival. My God, that's why everybody's jumping. It's great, great. But what God calls heaven on earth, be a light in darkness. Light shines in darkness. Where there's bondage, there's freedom. Where there's demonic activity, there's victory. Where there's hatred, there's love. Where there are lost, they're saved. People rise up as disciples. People come to the Lord. People love the Lord. People's lives are transformed by the light of God shining through us. Because God is good, say to your neighbor again, God is good. Where there's hopelessness, there is hope. Oh, okay, you can repeat it. I don't want Sherwin to be alone, okay? So where there is hopelessness, there is hope. And God's people said, amen. Okay, worship team, can you come up?